Hello, and welcome back to Slut PhD. I'm your host, Julie Fennell, and this is the continuation of our special Valentine's Day edition of the podcast, in which I am reading eroticas that I think have mostly never been published. this episode is going to contain two eroticas that are Femdom Mask Sub. And also, just a reminder that, as always, this podcast is intended for people who are legal adults in the area that they are listening from. So if you, like me, are coming from the United States, I expect that you are at least 18 years of age or older. As with the previous episode, these are extremely explicit eroticas containing heavy BDSM. And if that's not your thing, please stop listening now. These eroticas are ones that I wrote a couple of years ago, and one of them, at least, maybe both of them, have never seen the light of day before. So, enjoy. The first one is meant to be enjoyed along with the song The First Taste by Fiona Apple. So I encourage you to look that up as you are looking into this, but obviously I can't play the song because of copyright reasons. It's also the title of the piece. So unlike many eroticas that you probably read, I'd say over 90% of this one actually happened in real life. As I sit on the edge of the bed, staring at you standing in front of me, there's a part of me that thinks this is all a little bit silly. I'm covered in your rope marks, which are so deeply embedded in my flesh that it looks like I'm actually still in your rope. 10 minutes ago, I was screaming in blissful agony, suspended in the air in your control, and I feel like I could ride that masochistic high for days. I'm already so horny from it that the panties that I'm still inexplicably wearing, my only clothes, are uncomfortable against my swollen pussy. Barely ever hugged you, I've never kissed you, I've hardly been in contact with your body in any way without being enfolded in your rope, and I don't even know you very well. But I really, really want to fuck your brains out, and anything else feels like a game or a pretense right now. Yet instead of playing out of violent seduction and bondage, I've agreed to a violent switch because I know enough about you to know that we both enjoy a deep mindfuck even more than a deep fucking, and that's saying something. And besides, no matter how much I enjoyed the pain, I'm quite pleased by the prospect of getting revenge against you for hurting me so much. If there is a game here, the prize is power, or sex, or both. Regardless, assuming I can figure out the moves, the winner was predetermined. Me. Winning is what it means to be a dom, right? Merely ravishing you feels like it would be too easy, so I'm chasing the more elusive and even more enticing prize of control. It can be tricky to tame the unknown, even if it wants to be tamed, and you are an unknown. I don't really know what the first move in the next part of this game is, but I know it's mine. Falling back on the easiest option, I ask, how do you feel about collars dangling my favorite velvet one in demonstration? I told you, mistress. Just do whatever turns you on. Apparently the first move was actually yours. I feel an unexpected jolt of desire that makes my cunt contract when you call me mistress. It's like lightning licks my clit, and all of a sudden this doesn't feel as much like a game as it did a second ago. Any lingering doubt I had about my ability to pull off this role switch evaporates as I taste the electric charge in the air from what you've just said. I stand up, inhaling that charge and exhaling it around us both as I slowly put the collar around your neck. Then I lean into your ear and whisper, there is almost nothing that will turn me on as much as hearing you say that. When I hook my finger through the ring and the collar to turn your face to me, my heart skips a beat from the look in your eyes. They are glazed pools of desire, and when I look into them, I feel like I'm drowning in your longing to be taken and controlled. Whatever game or challenge was ever here was clearly over before I even sat down in front of you. I wonder if I've earned this gift of submission with my own screams of pain, or if it's a wanton present that was just waiting for me all along. Either way, the depth of it leaves me breathless. For a moment, with my finger in that ring, I forget how much I want to fuck you. All I can think about is power. It feels like a warm rush in my hands, and I can feel it changing my own eyes and even the way I breathe. I don't feel the myriad bruises you've left on me at all anymore. In that momentary rush, I have an insane desire to do crazy things like carve my initials into your flesh, find a way to devour your body and claim it as my own, and chant, "Mine, mine, mine," the whole time. I really believe in that heady moment of power-drunk glee that you desperately want me to own you. Instead, I settle for brushing my lips lightly against your neck and finding a Sharpie so I can write "fuck toy" and "sex toy" on you. These much more mundane actions don't feel the same at all, but they're much more reasonable. Then I attach a leash to your collar, and I savor the way that leash feels like an extra arm to control you with, and that collar feels like an extra hand to keep at your throat. I sit back down on the bed, and I take pleasure in how you look a little bit awkward, just standing there above me. I like looking up at you while I'm holding your leash. I like feeling like I can control you from beneath you. "What do you want?" I ask. "To please you, mistress." "Where the fuck did you come from?" I grin and reach forward to move your heavy kilt aside, and I'm startled to see that you're completely fucking hard. As with your glazed eyes, I feel more like you've just handed me your desire on a platter than I want it. Your dick looks like my pussy feels, and I'm seriously tempted to just yank you down to fuck me, but my admittedly weak willpower has lasted this long. If it's this easy to get your submission and your desire, the only game left to win is a test of wills to see who breaks first. You to start begging to fuck me, or me to just decide I'm finally giving in and sinking down onto your incredibly appetizing-looking dick. But both of us seem to have arrived at the accord that this encounter is at least as much about power as sex. So instead of just making you fuck me, I lean forward and swallow your dick, biting the base of it and making a cock ring with my teeth while staring up at you. You gasp, but don't protest at all. Enjoy the tormented looks on your face as you stand above me with no real support, while I start twisting your balls, too, to see how much you can take. Quite a lot, as it turns out, so I move up your dick and bite again under the crown. You gasp louder. Not even the masochist usually like that one, and you've told me you're not a masochist. But you still aren't protesting. Then I can't resist the temptation, and I bite down on the head of your dick, which is a reckless way to treat a fuck toy, but I just can't help testing what you'll take. That turns out to be too much, and your entire body flinches as you instinctively pull back and cover your dick with your hands. Laughing, I admit, nobody likes that. "Do you want to lie down so this is easier to take?" "Yes, mistress." You seem to be so in the habit of saying yes that I can't help but wonder if you would have just said yes if I'd asked to bite you like that again. But I have other plans for your dick, so I can't really afford to wreck it. I pull you down to my level by your leash and lay you back on the bed. Straddling your thighs, I pull off your kilt. As I stare down at the length of your naked body and your still hard, albeit tooth-marked, dick, I feel like I've just been granted access to an impressive human buffet. There's no sensible thing to do but eat it, so I bend down and take a good bite of your inner thigh, which elicits some terrific moans from you. "I think you lied when you said you weren't a masochist," I tease. "Your dick really seems to enjoy it when I hurt you." The only answer I get from you is inarticulate noises. I grin wickedly as I crawl up your body until my face is level with yours and I can sink my elbows into the pressure points on your chest. Despite your claims of not being a masochist, your dick is still definitely hard. Your writhing body beneath me reminds me how easy it would be to just give in and sink down onto your dick, and your invitingly parted lips remind me that I still haven't kissed you either. I'm so tempted to fuck you that I only have the courage for this maneuver because I'm still wearing my underwear. In an effort to distract myself, I try grabbing different parts of your flesh in a possessive experiment to see what gets the best reaction. Nothing works as nicely as torturing your thighs for making you writhe and moan, so I go back to them, twisting your balls again, too, for good measure. "You can bite harder," you say innocently between moans. I laugh. You really were lying about being a masochist, weren't you? Then bite your thigh hard enough that your entire body flexes and wiggles with some combination of pain and pleasure. This is such a strange way to learn your body. I'm not learning the way the taste of your skin changes as you become more aroused. The gentle caresses that arouse you or your favorite erogenous zones. From the first moment I bit you, your flesh tasted like desire and the yearning to be consumed, and there was never anything subtle in that flavor. Instead of caresses, I'm learning the pains that you'll tolerate and the ones you like in spite of yourself. I'm learning that power might be your biggest erogenous zone, and that it might be mine as well. I want to see your eyes. So I straddle you again, kneeling this time, and pull your head up to my chest by your hair. I intentionally suffocate you with my skin between my tits, listening to you failing to breathe. I savor the way you gasp for air when I finally pull your head back face up towards me. Sweat is pooling on your forehead, and your eyes have such a desperate expression that I feel almost undone. Our lips come within a hair's breadth of each other, and I'm deeply aware that the power to decide whether we kiss is mine, as is the power to decide whether we fuck. Teasing you like this makes me feel incredibly powerful, but ironically, that powerful feeling is so arousing that I know my ability to sustain this tease is bound to break soon. You look so utterly in my control that I realize the game I thought we were playing is irrelevant. You'd only start begging to fuck me if I told you to, because you really will just do whatever I say. I lean down and whisper in your ear, I'm going to fucking consume you with my pussy, and you're going to make me come until I'm hoarse. Do you understand? You nod raggedly, and I throw you back on the bed. As I'm still straddling you, looking down on you, I take in how vulnerable you look beneath me. I can't help but ask, what's the worst thing I could do to you right now? You barely even hesitate before responding. Walk away. I stare at you, overwhelmed by the sense that you've memorized a script I've never given you. I am perversely tempted to make that ultimate power play and tease and just leave you there, naked, hard, and covered in my bark marks and writing. I'll keep that in mind, I say, with an attempt at breezy carelessness that is total bravado. The truth is, I only want you more for your answer, but I think I'd much rather fuck you. The power-mad part of my brain regrets not walking away. The decision may be mine, but ending this tease and fucking you feels a bit like giving in, a little bit like letting you win. Yet I keep running up against the inevitable fact that teasing you also means teasing myself. Even if it means losing a little, I am fucking done with this tease. I don't make any show of taking my underwear off and putting a condom on you. I just want you, and I want to feel the way you want me. Sliding my pussy down your dick, I feel so much pleasure giving in and satisfying a craving long postponed. Your body is instantly responsive, no passive sex toy. I may be using you, but part of the pleasure of using you, my fuck toy, instead of an actual dildo, is feeling you enjoying and pleasuring my pussy at the same time. By any normal standards, this sex would be awesome, but drowning in your glazed eyes and feeling like I could control your breath and some essential part of your very being with a look or a word, I feel I have already known such deep intimacy with you that even fucking you feels slightly anticlimactic to my power-drunk brain. It doesn't feel anticlimactic to my pussy at all, and you quickly make me come. I grin, grab my Sharpie, and write a strike mark under the word sex toy on your shoulder. When you get to 10, I'll let you come, I tell you generously. Thank you, mistress, you say obediently, but you look amused, too. I named 10 as a number I expected you to struggle to get to, but I find the marks on your shoulder accumulating rapidly. Riding you, I come until my thighs get tired. Then on my knees, holding onto your leash while you fuck me from behind, I think I'm about to collapse from how many times you've made me come. Finally, on my back, still holding onto your leash with one hand, my other hand on my clit, you fuck me slower for one last truly spectacular orgasm. The most coherent thoughts I can muster are that if this is what winning feels like, it feels fucking amazing, and you're way better than any sex toy I can buy in a store. More than a little bit punch drunk from coming so much so quickly, I lay you back, cross out sex toy on your shoulder, and inform you that I'm hereby upgrading you to sex machine. Grinning, your response is still the same as ever. Thank you, mistress. Can I lick your fingers, please? Where the fuck did you come from? Feeding my own cum to you off my fingers, your mouth is so unexpectedly soft and delicate on my hand that I'm reminded yet again that I still haven't kissed you. I wouldn't think it was possible for me to get more turned on, but I am. I want to make you come now, I announce a little breathlessly, pulling my fingers out of your mouth. I debate my options for a moment, then say, you've been an amazing sex machine, and I think you'll come hardest if I torture it out of you. Whatever pleases you, mistress. I really could get used to this. Was that a confirmation? I ask archly. But a slow smile across your face is the only answer you give. Cheeky little fuck toy, I say, and I push a butt plug into your ass without any real warm-up. That wipes the cheeky look right off your face, instantly replaced with a pained look and the same glassy expression in your eyes that has made me so fucking horny this whole time. You gasp, your back arches, and your dick somehow gets even harder. You're not just a fuck toy, you're also clearly an ass slut, I observe. As you wriggle your body in pleasure, you make a motion that might be a nod. I can't not fuck you when you look like that. My pussy is definitely pretty fucked, but I lower it onto your dick anyway, gasping a little. You gasp too, which is extra satisfying because I hope that your dick feels as raw as my pussy does. Riding you, I clench my cunt around your cock, and I imagine it pressing into the teeth marks I left in it earlier. I reach one hand forward to choke you across your collar while I grab your balls with the other hand behind me, thrilling at the sense of absolute control of your body. Your eyes get wider and wider the longer you don't breathe, and I stare into them as I tell you cheerfully, you can come whenever you want to. I long to have the kind of power over your body to be able to just tell you to come, but that takes knowledge of your body, not just power over it. I don't have to wait long, though, before your entire body spasms, and I end up screaming a little myself at the way you thrust into me as you come. I feel your balls contract under my fingers, then change size again as I lift my hand from your throat, and you gasp as air returns to your lungs. And yet again, I wonder what fantasy universe you've arrived from. Easing myself off your dick, I sit beside you and carefully pull the condom off you, then reach inside it. The fuck toy letters I wrote on your stomach have, ironically, mostly been erased by sweat from all our fucking. But there's enough of the letters left that I trace them with your cum and feed you what's left off my fingers. Then I take your butt plug out, and I'm a little sad to see your eyes return to normal when I do. You're a beautiful fuck toy, I whisper, laying down beside you. And then I yield to my last temptation, leaning in to kiss you and tasting my cum and yours commingled on your exquisitely soft lips. I instinctively begin twining my body around you as we kiss. I saved this first kiss for a precious moment of pleasurable finality and gentle aftercare. Your lips are delicious, and kissing you is lovely, but this feels like neither finale nor aftercare. Kissing and embracing you like this, there is no more stark drama of power, but instead, a hint of invitation. Your eyes are just your eyes, no longer aching with submissive longing, but I feel seduced by them all over again. I become conscious that I still like your body, even when you're not being my fuck toy, but I have no knowledge of it in this context. I'm suddenly aware that I've barely let you touch me. Despite our intimacies of eyes and breath and cum, our skins are still strangers to each other. I have not acquired carnal knowledge of you so much as power knowledge of you. I want to fuck you all over again to feel the difference between sensuousness and cruelty, and to learn the contours of your body I have only bitten and bruised but not yet caressed. But I stop kissing you because I like a good tease, and because I want a next time. This was, after all, just a first taste. The next story is called Possession. There's a dark part of me that craves you. Nothing so quaint as mere sexual desire. I want to feel your body subsumed into mine, and your will so thoroughly controlled that it doesn't feel separate. I yearn for a conjoined moment that belongs utterly to me, an orchestra of tangled limbs and lips and sweaty skin that I conduct. I want to take all of you and breathe in how much you want to be taken. The only part of your independent desire I want to leave you with is the part that remembers you wanted this. But then, it's what I wanted, so it's not really independent anyway. I know this is not the way I'm supposed to want a person, probably not the way I'm supposed to want anything. I want you like a drug, because with you, power rushes through my blood like a euphoric. When I've heard the effects of heroin described, I've thought, ah, yes, I think I know that feeling from drowning in the dark pools of his eyes and believing he would do anything I told him to. In truth, I find it hard to believe that any mere drug could compare with that rush of pure power. But no matter how much I love to see myself drowning in your glazed eyes, when I look into my own in the mirror, I see the ghost of guilt and fear and self-doubt. No healthy person could ever want what I want with you. No healthy person could ever do the things I do to you. No healthy person could ever consent to just be owned by another person like this, let alone enjoy it. So even though you've ostensibly agreed, you must be broken as well. If you're broken, your consent means nothing. Well, I grimly reassure myself, running my hands through my hair as I look at my reflection. At least we're broken together. And isn't there a kind of beauty in that? I'm haunted by the inevitable certainty that I'll damage you and break this exquisite offering of yourself that you've made to me. And then I just won't be able to look at myself in the mirror at all. But even while so many of these fears haunt me, I still come back to you for more because the mere sensation of you sucking on my fingers is so seductive I couldn't possibly stay away. It's not just the physical sensation of your soft lips on my too tender skin. When you open your mouth to my fingers, it feels like you've opened your entire body to my will. It is a carnal mystery that captures my desire even as I ostensibly capture your will. When you distract me with the warmth of our desire, the feeling that my hands have melted into your pinned wrists, or the way your mouth seems to ache for me to spit in it as if we share a tongue and throat, I can't possibly remember or care that this might be wrong. Intoxicated from your eyes, I forget that I could hurt you irrevocably, and I can almost come just from your kisses. But this drunken spell of connection won't hold forever, and even cuddled up with you in a delicious and languid afterglow, my doubting ghosts still haunt me. Until finally, one of them prompts me to ask, "Do you trust me?" Naked in bed, our arms around each other, my collar around your neck, and my fresh fingernail marks gouged into your flesh, you look at me almost sardonically as you reply, "Shouldn't I?" Somehow I can't even look into your eyes as I tell you what is surely an obvious fact by now. Well, I'm not a very nice person, you know. Tracing your fingertip from my neck to my nipple, I can hear the smile in your voice as you say, "You look very nice right now." I trace my bite marks around the base of your cock, half smiling to myself as it stirs slightly at my touch, even as tears sting the corners of my eyes. "Does this look nice to you?" Nice and hot are not the same thing. Maybe that's just as true about me as well. In a rush, I tell you what you already know better than anyone else, but for some reason it feels like a confession. I like dancing on the knife's edge of consent. I like pushing you a little bit past what you're actually okay with. I like just looking you in the eye and informing you what you want. I do things to you that make even me cringe at the idea, and I just get turned on more because I think they're awful. I don't get off on taking care of you or saying nice things to you. I get off on the sight of spit on your face and the fact that you'll let me do it. Well, those things turn me on too. If they didn't, I wouldn't be here. I'm actually crying now, but I don't want to be. All I want is to just want you and feel okay about it. Petting my hair with too much understanding in your voice, you say, you don't love the parts of you that want those things. You don't trust yourself. And no matter how many times I tell you that I trust you, it's never going to make up for that hole in yourself. You're right. Of course you're right. I bring my head up to kiss you. I'm just going to go to the bathroom for a minute and clean myself up. No matter what it looks like, I'm not trying to run away from this difficult conversation or hide my tears from you. I just know that you really are right, and no matter how much I enjoy staring into the liquid depths of your eyes, my reflection in them isn't what I need to see right now. It's my own reflection in the mirror. Staring at myself, I take a deep breath before forcing myself to whisper out loud, I'm not going to turn into a rapist or a child molester because of the way that I want people. I play with grown-ups who want what I want. I'm going to embrace what I want and not hate myself for it. It's complicated, of course. It often is with kink. I'm into feeling a little bit dirty and ashamed of what I want to do to people. But I'm not into the gut-wrenching fear that I'm going to hurt you and lose your trust. Biting my lip with tears still in my eyes, I say the words that I barely believe. I trust myself, and if I hurt someone, I won't let it become more about my pain than theirs. It's not that simple, of course. It's never just as simple as saying some words. It's a daily practice of understanding, compassion, and belief. There's a part of me that only cares about being better at trusting myself for your sake, but I know that's not good enough. I have to be better at this for my own sake, or it will never really stick. I force myself to say these strangely difficult words again. I trust myself. Then I splash water on my face and come back to bed with you. Kissing you again, I ask, how do you see me? It's not a great question, but you seem to understand. You think for a moment and then say, I see someone who looks like she wants to devour me. You always look at me like you're imagining me naked, even when I'm barely wearing anything at all. I see someone who will put me wherever she wants me and make me like it. What do you see when you look at me? Food, I say, grinning. Prey, a dildo that will beg to come. I can feel the electric charge in the air as we're both getting turned on by what was originally a serious question. But I make myself ask the next hard question anyway. Aren't you afraid that I'll hurt you? Yes, but I'm into being afraid. I laugh and then ask the question again that you hadn't actually answered before. Do you trust me? I do trust you. I trust you a lot. You grin wickedly. Why does my dick get hard when I say that? I reach my hand down to verify the truth of your words. Because you're subby as fuck, slut. No, you say jokingly, your laughing words cut off as I put my hand on your throat over your collar. I'm not choking you at all, but its presence there is such a palpable reminder of belonging that I don't think you even know how to make a mock protest. Your whole demeanor shifts with that single gesture. Your breathing slows, your body seems to slowly melt into a puddle even though you were already lying down, and your pupils seem to fill up your entire irises. It takes so wonderfully little effort to transform you from partner to sub. Hooking my finger in the ring on your collar, I tug on it insistently. Come on, slut, I need to pee. This doesn't take any convincing. Pulling you behind me by your collar, I lead you into the shower where you obediently lie down on your back, still totally hard, but now with an eager and hopeful look on your face, too. You're such a pretty toilet, I laugh. You know I fantasize about just leaving you here for a day and pissing on you every time I have to go, and not letting you get cleaned up in between. It would never actually work, for several reasons, not least being that I get so turned on doing this that it gets hard to pee. But it's a good fantasy. Squatting over you, I notice yet again how perversely my brain registers peeing on you as one of the most intimate things I can do to a person. I have a moment of questioning myself again. What kind of person thinks piss is more intimate than sex? But I comfort myself with the thought that I'm like a cat and peeing on you is marking my territory. And that's not a designation I'm willing to grant most people. It's hard to stare into someone's eyes while you pee on them, but it takes the fun out of it not to. My pussy is hovering over your cock, almost touching it, and I want to fuck you at least as much as I want to fuck you up. Your cock actually twitches up towards my pussy as though it longs for the feel of my warm piss. It's so fucked up that you like this, I mock. When I finally manage to get my pee out, you moan like I've just come on you. We are, of course, two people who are so delightfully fucked up together. You're disgusting, I laugh, standing up and kicking your piss-soaked balls with my foot. You grunt in pain as I do, but I know what you really want. You really want to jerk off while I do this, don't you? Yes, mistress, you say weakly. Too bad, I laugh, sloppily jerking your piss-covered dick up with my foot. The only thing I hate about these games is how filthy I get in the process, but it's worth it to feel this improbable sense of erotic belonging. Sit up, I tell you, shooing you to the back of the tub with my foot. You can sit in that filth for a minute where you belong while I get cleaned up. You look so bedraggled and nasty, wet and stinking of my piss, cock hard, and your whole body practically shuddering with some combination of degradation and desire. It's gross, but it's also one of the hottest sights I can imagine. I feel a little gross myself for thinking so, but I'm into feeling that kind of gross. I stare down at the disgusting and obviously aroused huddle that is you while I shower. Once I've thoroughly washed myself off, I let you stand up and get yourself cleaned up. Then I bend you over outside the spray of the water so that your hands are pressed against the wall, your ass exposed. Pressed up tightly behind you, I run my fingers down your lower back and close to your ass. You instinctively lean into my touch, murmuring, "Fuck." I giggle. Reaching far around your body, I stick two fingers in your mouth to suck. "You think that's enough lube?" I ask teasingly, pulling them out. "Probably not, mistress," you croak, your voice hoarse with desire and fear. "I'll put real lube on them if you'll lick them when I'm done." "Fuck," is all you say in response. "I'll pretend like that means yes," I laugh again. Add some lube, then push both fingers inside you. From the sounds of your moans, I could almost believe I'd pushed my entire fist in, but in truth, I'm being gentle. From the inside, I can feel your cock rising more on the outside and your whole body contracting and wanting. "Please touch my cock, mistress," you beg raggedly. Reaching around with my other hand, I do. Your cock is sticky with so much pre-cum that I could almost believe you'd come without permission, except that I can press against the walls of your ass harder and feel more cum out when I come out when I do. And feel more cum come out when I do. It doesn't take long before you beg, "Please, can I come, mistress?" "No," I say lightly, stopping touching your cock. I could almost believe you'd come without permission, except that I can press against the walls of your ass harder and feel more pre-cum come out when I do. It doesn't take long before you beg, "Please, can I come, mistress?" "No," I say lightly, stopping touching your cock. You groan, especially as I press harder into your ass, your fingers trying to dig into the unyielding tiles under them as if seeking comfort there. After a minute, I take my fingers out and you moan again with disappointment until I stick them in your mouth. "You got my fingers dirty, slut. Clean them up." Your muffled noises are not ones of pleasure. You don't have to swallow. You make muffled noises of relief. I pretty quickly decide that I've had enough of tormenting you like this and pull my fingers out so I can wash them in the shower while you just straight up spit into the tub. There's something revoltingly satisfying about doing things to you that you hate, or perhaps it's really just satisfying and arousing that you let me do these things. Once my hand is clean and I've made you brush your teeth, I towel both of us dry before dragging you back to bed. Playing roughly with your dick, I tease, "You're not hard anymore, slut. I guess it's time to go to sleep." No, mistress, you say pleadingly. "Please fuck me some more." Instead of playing with your dick, I press my hand down hard onto your throat, and I feel my clit get hard from the sound that is not a sound of you not breathing. I barely have to stroke your dick with my other hand to make it hard once I've deprived you of air like this. I keep my hand on your throat as I climb on top of you, wriggling my pussy against your cock until I've teased it completely hard with my pussy lips. Watching your face tense from insufficient air, I finally have a kind of mercy on you and slide down your dick until it's all the way inside me. I only let go of your throat once my pussy has taken full possession of your cock. You gasp for air when I let go of you, and your cock contracts inside me as you suck in air. Riding it very slowly, I stuff my hand into your mouth, pressing my fingers against the back of your throat until I feel it spasming against me, causing your cock to shudder inside me again. When I pull my hand out of you, I wipe your own spit all over your face. Your cock's still inside me. I lay down onto you so that my elbows are digging into your chest with my face hovering just above yours. Your face jerks while you moan in pain from the weight of my body pressing into you so painfully, your whole chest trying to escape the pressure of me using my own body as leverage. I can smell your own spit on your face, slut, I laugh. I should add some of my own so you smell more like me. Riding your cock intentionally too hard, I just open my mouth and let my drool slide down onto your face. You wriggle slightly beneath me from the complex combination of these many sensations before asking in an almost panicked tone, "Please, may I come, mistress?" "Shh," I whisper. "You don't need to come. You just need to worship my pussy with your cock." I slow the rhythm of my fucking down until I'm barely moving at all and instead start digging my fingernails from both hands into your chest. You scream, your body arching in pain and incidentally causing you to push deeper inside me. "That was surprisingly pleasurable for me," I laugh, staring down into your eyes, which are so wide at this point that they seem to have taken over your face. I lean my mouth down closer to yours as if to kiss it. Then, when my lips are barely an inch from yours, I spit in it. "Thank you, mistress," you whimper, and I feel your cock twitching inside me in thanks, too. "You're welcome, slut," I say, wiping the combined mess of our saliva all over your face. I grab hold of the ring of your collar and use it to yank you and your body on top of mine, still inside me. Holding onto your collar still, staring into your eyes, I stick a finger from my other hand into your mouth in order, "Make me come, slut." It really doesn't take long for you to get me so close, and I can feel how much me wanting to come makes you want to as well. "Please, can I come, mistress?" you beg. I can't not give in, for all that part of me still wants to torment you. "Yes," I moan. Dominant or not, there is a moment of mutual surrender from this kind of shared orgasm. Power is a poem that we write with our sweat and flesh and cum, a poem I can feel in my breath and blood and bones and cunt, my fingernails digging into your back as both our bodies shudder. I moan mine into your ear as we come. And yet, as soon as we've come, I can't help feeling like sex is almost incidental in this game of power and owning that only sort of feels like a game. You collapse beside me, your dick reluctantly falling out of me, and I reach between my legs to touch our combined cum and then paint some of it on your obedient tongue. "You're so good," I laugh, knowing how much you hate the taste of your own cum. I paint the whole mess on your lips like lipstick, then lick it off, enjoying pretending for a moment like your lips are pussy lips. Piss and spit and cum. Do you feel thoroughly clean, slut? "Yes, mistress," you say with your eyes closed, your face beaming with the blissful and slightly vacant expression of the owned. I trace my fingers along your collar and feel the weight of your trust and the heavy metal ring on it. You let me do such disgusting things to you for my entertainment and pleasure, and I never quite know how to express my gratitude for that. I'm tired of doubting the sincerity of our dark intimacy and tired of believing there's something wrong with us for sharing it and wanting it. When I was doubting myself earlier, your trust felt like a responsibility I couldn't live up to. But when I actually believe in myself, your trust feels more like what it should, a key to lock and unlock you that you've given me as a treasured gift. "You're a treasure," I say, caressing my finger along your cheek and tracing it to the lock on the back of your neck. "And claiming you is my thanks for your trust. I'll try to be worthy of it." Kissing your neck just above your collar, I grin, adding, "Also, your trust is fucking hot." Gently tracing my initials into your flesh, I think, "All I want from you is merely everything," adding ironically, "No big deal." I hope you've enjoyed this special double Valentine's Day podcast episode edition. You can find many more of my stories on FetLife and on my blog, Slut PhD. Also published in Best Women's Erotica, Volume 8, and in The Big Little Book of Quickies, which just came out in the summer of 2024. And if you or someone you know is an agent, I am trying very hard to get a novel published, which includes the first story that I read in the first episode, but mostly it's an erotic novel that's quite different. Maybe I'll read a segment from that if I continue to struggle to find a publisher. Anyway, happy Valentine's Day. Thanks for listening.